This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I didn't even know it was fourth down. I feel like a bad player for that, but you know what? At the same time, I'm damn happy to be standing up here with you guys celebrating this. Come on. Let's go, y'all. I'm going to bring a little Southern hospitality to this. I appreciate y'all so much. You guys have been unbelievable. Unbelievable all year. And you know what? We appreciate you.
I believe the term is inebriated.
Heavily.
Overserved. Or as we say where I'm from, pissy drunk. That's what Matthew Stafford was yesterday on the Don Julio 1942, I believe, was his drink of choice. Probably too late. As Kelly Stafford said, to follow Tom Brady's advice and mix in some water. So for the second consecutive year, we've gotten some laughs off at a drunk Super Bowl winning quarterback. So look, man, you know that I have been Matthew Stafford's biggest cheerleader all year.
Right.
That's since he got to the Rams. I have taken great pride and pleasure in telling you and many others that I told you so since the Rams won the Super Bowl. But I'm always calling like I see it. I know you will as well. And yeah. Matthew Stafford saw that photographer, Kelly Smiley, fall from the stage, reacted, turned, and walked away. He was looking right at her. And that's not a good look. That's not a good look at all. His wife, Kelly, was clearly frightened and concerned for the well-being of Kelly Smiley, who fractured her spine and broke her cameras, but more importantly, fractured her spine. But I need an explanation from Matthew. I mean, he's drinking water right there. I don't know how drunk he was. I don't know what he was thinking.
Okay.
But for him to just look and walk off, like, that's not a good look, dude. Like,
stop. I can't stand it.
Can stop.
I
tell you, what you mean? Stop. That's not a good look.
I can't stand this.
What you mean?
I can't stand this. This is like.
All right, man.
This is the Twitter army going too far. You know, here's something that's missing. Context. Context is missing.
Yeah, that's why I said I need an explanation.
But you're saying I need an explanation. Like, if you're coming at me like that, I need an explanation. You're saying I need an explanation almost in an accusatory way. Like, I did something wrong.
Yeah.
I need an explanation for your behavior. Okay, it's not a good look for you, but this is what was happening. Here's the context. Context was, this dude was drunk. So he's at a Super Bowl party. Drinking. I don't know how much he had to drink, but he had a lot to drink. You just said off the top, as they say in Britain, he was pissed. Mm-hmm. Different context in the UK than in the United States. He was pissed, as in drunk.
I didn't know that.
So it may have been 5, may have been 10, may have been 15. I don't know. He was mixing it all in. Could have been beer, champagne, mixed drinks. I don't know. And all we know is what we saw on camera, but you don't know what was going through his mind. You don't know if he actually got the enormity of it. You don't know what he
was thinking. I was as fair as one could possibly be. I said
I don't think so.
I would like an explanation, which means I don't know what was going through his head.
But you know,
I don't know how much more fair I could be than that.
It was a bad. You said it's a bad look.
Because it is a bad look. Like, from what I saw. So you think that's an okay look? Look, hold on. First, back up some.
This is what happened.
Back up some. Hold on. Back up some. The first thing you said, I agree with. Sometimes the Twitter mob can go too far. Oftentimes, the Twitter mob could go too far.
Yes.
So I'm with you on that. And in terms of jumping to conclusions, I'm with you on that. all right, in general. But specific to this situation,
I'm going to tell you,
that's not a good look, dude. I've been drunk. I've been high. If I see somebody fall, I'm not going to be like, oh, shit, and just turn the other way. Like, I'm not going to do that.
You don't know what you go.
I've been in situations.
It depends on how drunk you are and how high you are. Hey, Mike,
I think multiple things can be true. Multiple, not just two, multiple things can be true. Matthew Stafford could have been drunk.
I just saw
Matthew Stafford in general could be a good. Yeah, you did.
And I told you stuff. And I told you stuff that you didn't even remember. You didn't even remember saying or doing. And I told you about it.
I do. Okay? I remember. I remember. I remember a lot of things I said.
But nobody fell. You remember everything.
But nobody
fell. You don't know that.
Nobody was hurt.
You don't know that.
I'm pretty sure.
Based on the condition I saw you in.
As I recall, I remember being so paranoid until I invented a scenario in which I did something wrong, but apparently did not. But that's neither here nor there. Right. What I'm saying is Matthew Stafford could have been drunk. Matthew Stafford could generally be a good guy. So I don't want to take this snapshot, this video, and make it some kind of referendum on who he is. But Matthew Stafford could have also messed up, because that was messed up. If you see somebody fall far enough to break her spine, okay, why did Kelly Stafford react differently? You going to blame it on the alcohol? Jamie Foxx?
That's probably.
You just blame it on the juice? Got it feeling loose?
Maybe she can handle her liquor a little better than he can.
All right.
Maybe she didn't have as much as he could. He didn't.
I've been drunk. The other thing. I've been high. Somebody falling.
I think this was just about.
My sensibilities aren't shut off to where I'm just going to be like, whoop, good luck. Wouldn't want to be you. That's not a good look, dude.
Part of the outrage is the result. So there are many times somebody falls, gets back up, starts talking, walking, laughing, and everybody
laughs.
And then you figure out that somebody fractured their spine, and it's a very serious injury. And now we go back and look at everything through a different lens. If there had not been a fractured spine involved, we're not talking about Matthew Stafford in a bad look. As a matter of fact, we don't even know her name.
I don't know.
We don't even know her name if she just fell and got up. But she fell.
I don't know about that.
It was serious.
I don't know about that.
I do.
I don't know about that.
I do. I believe.
Is that a red herring? Okay.
No, it's not a red herring. I believe that's how it happens a lot of times. That's how penalties, a lot of times in sports, penalties are doled out.
Like in hockey,
based
for instance,
on the injury. Yeah.
Like somebody gets a concussion and they're out for months. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. He's out. Like, oh, wait a minute. It's a very serious injury. We got to go back. There's an additional suspension.
But here's what's unfortunate. You actually did hit on something. Here's what's unfortunate. What's unfortunate is that. Because we disagree. No, because we disagree about how bad of a look this is. But actually, I do agree with something, or got me thinking about something. Not actually that you rarely hit on something. No, because that's what you were saying. That's not what I was saying. That's not what I meant at all.
Go ahead, keep going. Go ahead.
You know, people, they say, you know, who's watching the watchers? So there are a lot of people who have taken up the cause of oversight on the outrage police, okay? Of which, at some point, at various points, you and or I have been accused of being officers in the outrage police. So because people, it's almost like, how best to say this? People have tried to swing the pendulum so far in the opposite direction that everybody is like, oh, y'all too sensitive. That's the problem with today's generation. Everybody's soft. You can't tell a joke about anything. You can't laugh about anything. You can't, you know, this nation is going to hell in a handbasket. It's like that group feels like it has to counter the so-called outrage police at the other end of the spectrum. I think there's room for both. There's room. At times, people can overreact. I acknowledge that. Okay?
Yeah. No question. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, to me, there is room to understand that happens. The Twitter mob, the Twitter army, the outrage police. Yeah, that happens. But still being able to look at this and say, wait a second, man, like, you got to do better than that. I'm not saying Matthew Stafford should be suspended for violating the personal conduct policy. I'm not suggesting that Matthew Stafford's Hall of Fame candidacy went up in smoke as a result of this situation. You know, I'm saying that that was not a good look. Drunk or not, for somebody to fall and you just say, oh, snap, and just turn around the other way, that's not... But if that were I'd be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed if that were me.
Or
being you, seen in this context.
If you saw it, if you remembered.
And I believe he's better than that. I believe, and I'm not to go on Mark Jackson on you. I do believe he is better than that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I do believe him to be better than that.
You're better than that. So he just took a swig.
It could have been a mistake. I think, Michael, you're making it out to be like, I'm sitting up here saying that he's like, you know, he's a bad person and this exposes who he really is. Like, no, I'm not going that far with it. It was a bad moment. You wouldn't agree that he could have handled that better?
I don't know. Because I don't know. Because I think I've seen people in various states of drunkenness and certain things happen. That's what I mean. So let's just go back. That's one reason. And I'm going to come back to drunkenness in a second. That's one reason you're told not to operate any heavy machinery, not to operate a car, because your senses are dulled. You are not yourself. You're not
your
yourself
reflexes.
When you're that drunk. Now, everybody thinks it doesn't apply to them, because when I've talked about this topic before, it was shocking. I remember one time, first time I brought it up, on sports talk radio, thought I had the room. I misread the room. So I was talking about, of course you don't drive drunk. And you know what? Those phones, man, lit up in a second. Oh, you mean you never done it? I do it all the time. It ain't no big deal. You know, the laws are wrong and all kinds of justification for driving while drunk. But I mentioned drunkenness. And the irony of the situation, Michael Smith, is that everybody is looking at, or a lot of people, I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people are looking at Matthew Stafford saying that's a bad look when all kinds of laws are being broken around him, but we're going to ignore all that because the Rams won the Super Bowl. Now, if you were out in the street, you're just out in the street and you're just out there drinking, is it okay to just, what's LA's laws on just open containers and drinking anywhere? Can you go down there? Can I go right by SoFi Stadium, just me, Michael Holly, no athletic ability whatsoever? Can I have like 2 or 3 bottles of champagne? Can I have some beer? And can I just stand in the middle of the street and drink and get drunk and smoke whatever I want to smoke? Probably not. So all this stuff is happening. Everybody's like, oh, man, this is so funny. They're so drunk. But a dude, we don't know if he actually saw it. We don't know if he actually, if it actually registered. We're beating him up for that, but everything else is going on. We're gonna ignore
that's what we're doing. So for that matter, because a store was being robbed a few blocks away, we shouldn't worry
about what Matthew Stafford did. I don't know that a store was being robbed miles away, but I know.
But who cares about like, what most else was going on out there?
No.
We're talking about
but
Matthew
I know
Stafford
what was happening.
And
you're talking about theoreticals.
For his fellow
I'm talking about
man,
actually.
Or in this case, woman.
Okay.
But I'm talking about what we actually
that.
Saw from
you don't
Matthew
know that.
Stafford.
You know, okay, so what you saw from him is, now your conclusion is,
I saw indifference.
He doesn't care for
I
his...
saw indifference. I saw
so
indifference
are you
in
comfortable
that moment.
Saying,
that's not my conclusion about him as a person. I've already
okay,
said
but
that.
Are you comfortable saying
that is not my conclusion. In that moment,
okay,
concern. In that moment, he did not display concern. Look at the video.
This
is the same dude through a no-look pass. We know he got eyes. He saw it,
he went drunk and turned around.
He was
drunk through that. I don't think that was
again,
a Max McGee moment.
I'm not looking to find him. I'm not looking to put him in the pen. I'm not looking to suspend him. I'm simply
this
saying
is what I'm not
it was a drunk
doing.
Or otherwise, it was a bad look.
This is what I'm not comfortable doing. I'm not comfortable having even a snapshot, even a small glimpse, a little character sketch of anybody when they've
I didn't
been
say
overseas.
Character sketch. I didn't okay, say character or, sketch. Or, how many times have or, I said that? Michael, how many times have I said that? By all accounts, Matthew Stafford is a good dude. By all, and I don't know him well enough to say whether he is or not. I have said ad nauseum, I've said several times, I am not making this some kind of referendum on who he is as a person. even though, they, as they say, a drunk man speak a sober man's words. I am not saying that. What I'm saying is,
you're right on the border.
No, I'm not on the fence.
You're right on the U.S. No. Canadian border, right there.
No, I said it's a bad. I don't know how much more clear I could be. It was a bad look.
Yeah, one.
Can I say it any clearer than that?
Okay. Yeah, but what does that mean? I guess. What does that mean? No, really. Tell me. You tell me what that means. What does that mean to you? It's a bad look. I hear a lot of people saying that, and unfortunately, I'm going to ask you to represent the crowd.
You know what a bad look means? A bad look means that it's another way of saying, short of knowing that this is who you really are, we would have liked to have seen you react better to someone in trouble. My mother-in-law the other day fell. She was walking down the street and she fell. Suffered a lot of cuts and bruises. She's getting well, but she's suffered a lot of cuts and bruises. Thank God it wasn't worse. There were a bunch of people that stopped and offered her attention and waited until an ambulance came.
Yeah, that's good.
So if you want to say Stafford was drunk and that's a legitimate excuse, okay, that's fine. I just feel like that doesn't turn off your sensibilities. Your reflexes may be hampered. Your filter may be hampered. But in terms of somebody falling, to turn around and be like, "Woo," you know, because clearly he knew something bad had happened. His face said that. But then he walked away like, "Whoop, that ain't got nothing to do with me." It just wasn't a good look. Does it make him a bad person in general, or did he have a bad moment? It might have just been a bad moment. But wouldn't you agree that he could have reacted better? That's all I'm asking.
Okay.
Could he have reacted better to that? And I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. That's why I'm stopping right there. It was a bad look. I'm not saying he's the worst person in the world. Then he's a bad look.
Got it. This is what I know. This is what I know about people. This is what I know. That no matter what you do, there's somebody who's going to say you should have done more. So let's say a drunk Matthew Stafford, clearly drunk. I'm comfortable saying that's the only thing I'm comfortable saying. He had a lot to drink. The way he sounded, what he had in his hand, he was just been drinking all day. So a drunk Matthew Stafford, if he reacts differently, if he reacts like his wife, who went and looked, and that's all we saw. She looked. We don't know if she jumped down herself, if she called for help. If a drunk Matthew Stafford looks over and says, "Are you okay?" and then walks back to the crowd, what are people saying? You know what they're going to say. That's all you can do? Why don't you get down and help her? You're Matthew Stafford. Why don't you call for help? Then you get on your cell phone? Then you call 911? Did you let somebody else know with the Rams? Did you talk to the team trainer? Like, it's never going to be enough. And so that's one. And then two, I don't know what was. I can't jump inside his brain. I don't know. So no, I don't like where this is going. I don't like where it went. I'm not being a contrarian. Sometimes I am.
So we should go to break.
Sometimes I do that on purpose.
Do you?
I'm not talking about you.
Not on this show, do you? You're not a contrarian on purpose on this show, are you? Because that would really disappoint me if that's the case. If you're a contrarian, just to be a contrarian, that would really disappoint me if that's the case. Get well soon, Kelly Smiley.
Well,
on a lighter note, can I make a lighter note? I was recently really high, and it was something about what it was I smoked, where I remembered every rap lyric to every song that was on. Bro, I think I could have been a rapper in another life.
These drugs do to you. You know what I mean? You lose the sense of reality. Because if you had recorded your rapping right then and we played it on the show, you'd be embarrassed. I'm just telling you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I dreamed about this for so long, so to be here right now, it's surreal, man. I'm so in the moment right now. Like I said, I've been drinking a little bit, so so we having a good time. It's gonna linger like this for at least the end of the week. So we world champions.
Sean McVay just tapped me on the shoulder. He wanted to know if you were interested in running it back.
Run it back! 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 Give it up for Aaron Donald! What a stud! Everything! We built a super team. We can bring a super team back. Why not run it back? We can be world champions.
Yeah! Hey, man. It was a great scene. It was a great scene. By the way, just want to point out there's some. You know, Sean McVay holding the red cup. That's why, you know, that's real. Okay. He had a little red cup in his hand. Aaron Donald talking about drinking. You could hear it. You could see it. They were having a ball. So as far as the Rams and their prospects going forward, I know they're favorites or they are heavily favored to be in the conversation again for the 2022 NFL season. And I feel like we were just here, Mike. Here we are, February 2022. February 2021, after another home team won the Super Bowl in more convincing fashion, their general manager, not their head coach, their general manager said at the parade, let's run this back. Let's run it back. And the Buccaneers were the prohibitive favorites to repeat as Super Bowl champs. And I said at the time that I didn't think they'd do it, but I gave all of the, frankly, 1999, 2000, 2001 kind of reasons why they wouldn't repeat as champs. You know, guys change, contracts, everybody's gunning for you, on and on. Okay, later for that. That's not why the Buccaneers didn't win the championship. Guys did change. They got hurt. Some guys got hurt. It just wasn't the same kind of vibe for Tampa in 2021 as it was in 2020. You know.
They didn't make it past the divisional round because they decided to blitz in a situation where they shouldn't have. And
well,
Cooper
I don't
Kupp
know. I mean,
beat him over the top, and Matthew Stafford made a great throw. I don't mean to derail your train of thought.
I know, no,
that's just
didn't
how
derail
close
it,
all
didn't
of these it. Games were. They,
well,
they,
that's
they could
where
have
I'm
been
going.
An NFC Championship game for all we know.
That's where I'm going. They could have been, but that was a great comeback. They had to come back. The Rams did have the ball. So the Rams had the ball. They had a big lead on Tampa. Tampa had to fight all the way back. The Rams had the ball. They made the play. They were the better team. They were the better team that day and clearly
they,
for the
they
season.
They won.
But
they won.
But the reason
both
I don't see the Rams.
Both teams played hard.
Yeah.
Sorry.
the reason that both teams play hard. Thank you and good night. The reason I don't see the Rams repeating as Super Bowl champions, it really goes back to the era of your shirt. It's the Tecmo era. Yeah, let's call it the late 80s and early 90s, before we were blessed with Madden at a high level. Tecmo era, Tecmo football, Tecmo Bowl. And you think about the champions at that time, how close they were. If you talk about that swing, you know, he had back-to-backs. I think the 49ers went back-to-back, if I'm not mistaken, 88 and 89, maybe. But then
yes.
You had
Super Bowl 23.
Then you had the Giants. Then you had the Giants, then you had the Washington Commanders. Okay, I'm calling
right.
the Commanders.
Neither one of those was defeated. Yep, right. And then the Cowboys.
Then Cowboys back to back. And then the Niners. So, but this right in there, those groups, those teams I named, all of them great. Not a single fluke in there. And if I go back a little bit further, I go back Washington and New York again. So Giants, Washington, San Francisco. Giants again, Washington again. I mean, they were so close, all well-coached Hall of Fame coaches, Bill Parcells, Joe Gibbs, Jimmy Johnson, getting it done. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we are now. Maybe the level of play is not there. Maybe these coaches aren't going to the Hall of Fame, but I just think the talent is so close that I don't look at the Rams and look at their competition, even in their division with the Niners, and say, clearly, the Rams are better than everybody else. I don't know. You just said it. Buccaneers could have been here. The 49ers could have been here. The Packers, for that matter, could have been here. The Rams were. The Rams took care of business. They made plays when they needed to. They won the championship. But I, by no means do I look at the Rams and look at the rest of the NFC and say, or the rest of the NFL, and say nobody can really get with them, or they got the secret sauce. So when it really comes down to it, they'll have the edge, 2 point, 3 point, 4 point edge over everybody else. I think it's unlikely that we'll see a repeat champion in 2022.
Yeah, well, that's not a stretch. Nobody's done it since 03, 04, the Patriots, right? And history is certainly right on your side. I read this from Axios the other day. So far this century, at least one of the two Super Bowl teams, I'll say that again, so far this century, at least one of the two Super Bowl teams has gone on to miss the playoffs the following season 64% of the time. Okay?
64%.
So basically, there's a 2 out of 3 chance based on recent history that either the Rams or Bengals miss the playoffs altogether next year.
Yeah.
Let alone a Rams repeat. All right, so let's start with personnel. Let's start with personnel.
Okay.
From a personnel standpoint, Les Snead and his crew can work around, they can restructure contracts, they can guarantee salary and amortize it over, you know, the life of the contract and reduce the cap hit. They can play all the cap games and whatnot. They can keep this team together. They lose their offensive coordinator, Kevin O'Connell. He's Minnesota's coach now. It's official. But they keep Raheem Morris as defensive coordinator. They can bring the band back. They can run it back. They can keep the band together. All right, so that's one. From a personality standpoint, so there's personality. Mm-hmm. I think, and it's, you know, I don't want to go like as far as the NBA. You know, I always say guys start hoarding championships, superstars hoard championships in the NBA, is the old saying.
Right.
Yeah, football's a different beast, but the rationale is the same. It's like this team finally breaking through, being all in on this year and getting it done. I could see them playing with something of a freedom next year, even as defending champions, even as a so-called hunted and not the hunters. I could see something of a weight being lifted off them now that they finally got it done, now that they atoned for their Super Bowl 53 loss. Stafford can win the big game, so on and so forth. And I also don't see them being a bunch of guys who are thinking, oh, I got to get paid, or I got to do my TV show, or I got to do my book deal. All the things that was it Pat Riley used to talk about, what the main thing ain't the main thing anymore, the disease of more. Is that right? Is it the disease of more? Is that what it is?
Sounds about right. Or maybe it's a different one.
You know, okay, it might be different, but you know what I'm talking about.
I like
it. Yeah, you know,
Keep going. When
guys start getting inflated egos. Von Miller's been there and done that.
If Pat Riley didn't say that, he should have. Anyway, go ahead.
Von Miller been there and done that. Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald, Andrew Whitworth, if he comes back, I doubt it. I mean, this is probably it for him. But they got the right mix of guys. Like, everybody talks about the stars and the names, but they got good people on that team as well, good teammates on that team. So I don't think they're gonna come apart from within. So really what it comes down to, Michael, is just luck. Honestly, luck when it comes to health, luck when it comes to plays going your way that could have easily gone the other way, like we just talked about. So odds are that the Rams will not repeat next year just because it's hard. And you know, it's just hard. It's really that simple. They're not even any more complicated than that.
Is.
But I'll just say to you, if anybody is equipped to repeat, it is this group, because they can bring everybody back. They can re-sign everybody. They've done a really good job of maximizing late round picks. They can fill some holes on their team. They overcame quite a few injuries this year. Remember, they didn't have Robert Woods. Now they don't have Odell Beckham, and we'll see if he resigns, but he's hurt. They didn't have Robert Woods. Right. Their running backs were hurt throughout the year. The secondary was decimated by the end of the year, hence they had to call Eric Weddle out of retirement. So they got a chance to not only come back next year, but maybe come back better and get that first round bye. All I would say is, Michael, somebody's going to do it again eventually, right?
Eventually.
Somebody's going to repeat again, right?
But I think it may take a while. I think we need to see the reason the last repeat happened. You know why it happened? Because that team in the regular season was 28-4 over 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's why it happened. They were a dominant team. Now, they didn't win mm-hmm. Super Bowls. They didn't blow people out in Super Bowls. But they just when you win 28 out of 32 and you're 6-0 over two postseasons,
but you know what?
You're dominant. And I don't think the Rams are dominant. I think a dominant team will do it.
Here's what's interesting, and that's a good point. That's a really good point. They were dominant in the final analysis. But refresh my memory. Obviously, you literally wrote the book on this, and I covered them, but, you know, my memory is fading. I feel like mm-hmm. the 2003 team had a distinctly different identity than the 2004
Definitely.
Team.
No question.
And right. one person in particular is Corey Dillon. And 2004 was Corey Dillon. Right. Yeah. That's what, like, they were a smash-mouth running team. I don't remember which characters came and went in New England. Obviously, Brady was still there. Troy Brown was still there. I don't remember. I don't remember the key guys who came and went or who had a different role in 04 or no role in 04 compared to 03. I remember Dillon was the big difference, which is why, like you said, 04, it was better than 03. That's why I'm saying they did a good job those 2 years of realizing, and not that this is the only thing that it takes is just this realization, because everybody talks about, we're starting from the bottom again. We're back. Everybody's climbing the mountain. We're right back at the bottom with anybody else. But the Patriots in 03 and 04 approached it from a personnel and personality standpoint as two completely different exercises. Couldn't the Rams do that this year? Couldn't the Rams come back next year and potentially be better? Matthew Stafford's second year in a system with Sean McVay? He won it his first year. It stands to reason that he could be better his second year. Maybe he cuts down on the turnovers. Maybe he doesn't throw a pick six in three straight games. Maybe they do have home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
But I think it would be better for him.
Not that it matters in that.
Better for Matthew Stafford is probably not showing up in the statistics. It's just comfort level. It's hard to be a lot better than he was this year. You look at the numbers. Yeah, he's pretty good. Like Cooper Kupp could be better next year.
He did throw 17 picks.
Crown? But 41 touchdowns, right? So 41?
Yeah, 41 touchdowns. Touchdowns. 41 touchdowns. Okay,
All right.
Yeah.
So 41 touchdowns, 17 picks, and Cooper Kupp was your Triple Crown winner this year. Is he going to do that again? Duplicate. Will he do that again?
Yeah.
So does he have to? And still be.
Does he have to?
Again. Or might be
Maybe they have Cam Akers all year. Remember how Cam Akers finished his rookie year? And he wasn't great down the stretch, but maybe they have Cam Akers all year this year. Like, they overcame. My point is, as well as things went for them in certain areas, they overcame a lot, too. They overcame a lot of adversity as well, you know. Some plays went their way. They were down 10 against San Francisco, for crying out loud, in the fourth quarter. I mean, not to mention, the way the Bucs game ended. So, I don't know. I'm with you that the odds and history say that we won't see them repeat or anybody else repeat. But at a certain point, somebody's going to do it. And just like the 03-04 Patriots going to look at it and be like, oh, wow, they really did that. They really did that. Like, the Rams could easily.
I need to see.
They can win 12 games again this year.
Yeah.
As presently constituted.
12-5 in a 17-game. I need to see 15-2. I see 15-2, 14-3.
That's when you'll believe them?
That's when I'll believe it. So all the teams that have repeated have been dominant teams. You don't have a team mm-hmm. that just like, okay, well, good.
That anybody went on a, can that win. Went on a great into, run. That
you don't go into
run.
The playoffs and, right, you don't say,
yeah.
Well, anybody can win it. No, the teams that second one, you say, yeah, okay, there it is. Whether it's the Cowboys, whether it's the Patriots, going back to the Steelers, dominance.
Yeah.
So I don't see a dominant team in the league.
Like all time great. Like all time great. Yeah. And again, they gotta stay healthy. Is the bottom line. So yeah, we'll see. We shall see.
Will they play in the confetti again next year?
Their division is in upheaval. Russell Wilson may not be there. Hell, Kyler Murray ain't happy.
Kyler Murray.
We'll see who the quarterback is. I mean, I guess it's Trey Lance in San Francisco. Now, if it's Tom Brady in San Francisco, it might be a different conversation.
Oh. Kyler Murray said he's not about the nonsense.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hey, Mike, you know, I'm always interested in lists. I love lists. Best this and best that.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't love lists?
Right. That's a list. A list. A list of anything. So Pro Football Focus, you know, the website, really looks at the game pretty intensely, pretty critically, grades, gets all in there, digs into the crevices, and comes up with ratings for every positional group, every player. So now PFF has come up with its best 101 players in the NFL in the 2021 season. The best 101.
Let's start with that. Why?
And you know, and Mike, you know who number one is? No, you don't.
He's the highest graded player.
Whoa. Huh.
Well, I mean, right. Best left tackle in the league. I mean, I'm not shocked.
You're not shocked that Trent Williams, as a number one player?
No. I'm seeing this for the first time. This is according to PFF's grades.
Yes,
for
grade.
The 2021 season. Yeah, okay. Trent Williams.
Just mathematical.
I don't know what it says, but Trent Williams may have graded out as a 96.7 at left tackle. Right. Whereas Aaron Donald graded out as a 96.5 as a defensive end, defensive tackle. They do different things. B, that does not mean that Aaron Donald is still not the consensus best player in the NFL. This season, Trent Williams may have done his job better than Aaron Donald did his job in the estimation of Pro Football Focus. But many people identified Trent Williams as the best tackler. Best tackle, either way, in the NFL. Nobody here surprises me, with the exception.
Really?
You know, I did know that Joe Burrow was the highest graded quarterback. That to me is the headline. That
Joe Burrow.
PFF has a lot of credibility. So most people are usual suspects. Zach Martin's a Hall of Famer. Cooper Kupp, you know, Triple Crown winner. Aaron Donald, Hall of Famer. Trent Williams, Hall of Famer. Devontae Adams. Some would say he's the best receiver in the league, with apologies to Cooper Kupp. It's an argument. Miles Garrett, one of the best defensive players in the league. Brady, Parsons, all these guys in the top 10 and even in the top 20 are usual suspects.
Max Crosby
for Joe 12. Burrow, for Joe Burrow, yeah, he led the league in pressures, if I'm not mistaken. For Joe Burrow to be the highest graded quarterback in the NFL, that's interesting.
That's it. Okay. I think Mark Andrews over George Kittle.
Ahead of Tom Brady.
Andrews over Kittle surprises me.
I don't know about their grading system, but I mean from a receiving standpoint, Andrews was second to none this year.
I got a couple things for you that I want to get your take on. I love this kind of stuff. I want to read you just some highlights on Aaron Donald. He's been a top ranked player. PFF. He's been a top ranked player. Yep. Mm-hmm. Number one for the last six seasons. Almost made it again this year. Okay, now this just blows my mind. Including the postseason, Donald once again says PFF, topped 100 pressures, accomplishing that feat in four of the last five seasons. What is perhaps most impressive about his performance this season is that he played over 1,000 snaps in the regular season and actually registered the most snaps PFF has recorded from an interior defensive lineman over a season. Donald still pressured quarterbacks at an elite level despite being asked to endure a historically high workload. So he had more snaps than any interior defensive lineman.
That's crazy.
Think about that. So
the condition he has to be in to dominate that much.
Right.
And I think I saw a stat. I'm gonna just estimate it to not get it wrong, but I'm pretty sure he led the league in double team win rate. Something like 23% of the time he beat double team. Something like that. If you want to just get real analytical with it.
Well, and so I like the deep analysis, but I want to ask you something else, and this is interesting. So the Cooper Kupp at number three, not a surprise. Cooper Kupp could have been one, he could have been two, he was three. Right? No shame in that. So they have Devontae Adams at five, Cooper Kupp at three. Can I tell you what they said about Devontae Adams? First line, Adams is the best wide receiver in the NFL. 20-second timeout. You got Devontae Adams at five. You got Cooper Kupp at three. And you're saying Adams is the best wide receiver in the NFL.
If you and I take a test, you and I take a math test, and you get a 97, and I get a 95, but for the semester, on that you did better on that test. But for the semester, I got an A, and that just brought your average up to a B. I think over the course of his body
Cooper
of work.
Cooper Kupp did better in this semester, didn't he? He did better this semester than Devontae Adams, right? On the test and in the semester.
Listen, man, if you want to say Cooper Kupp is the best receiver in the NFL, I'm not going to argue with you. But Devontae Adams has had that crown. What's the difference in that grade from 3 to 5? Do you have that grade in front of you? What was that grade this year?
93.
So what was Cooper Kupp's grade? What was Devontae Adams' grade?
Okay, this is crazy, man, because I don't understand the grading system now.
That's exactly right. I mean, let's establish that. Because neither one of us knows what.
I do, because listen to this. They got Kupp is three. They graded him as a 93. They got Adams as five. They graded him as a 93.2. What? Huh? What? Dude, now, I'm not good at math, but I understand
that. We're splitting
hairs
here. That math ain't
math. Here's the thing.
We're splitting hairs here, regardless.
No, but this is where it becomes disrespectful, though. Said, Devontae Adams, best wide receiver in the league. And it's amazing that he's the best wide receiver in the league since he wasn't picked in the first round. I'm just playing. But he's best wide receiver in the league. But, you know, the disrespectful part, Mike, is when they said about Cooper Kupp. First line, Kupp is both a phenomenal receiver and the beneficiary of the kind of deployment that makes it almost impossible for an opposing defense to take him out of the game. So then they start talking about how much time he spends in the slot.
Why is that disrespectful?
Because they're saying he lined up in the slot 65.5% of the time, and it makes it difficult for defenses to defend him because he's in the slot.
Right.
But then they turn around and talk about Devontae Adams saying, you know, it was tougher for him because he didn't spend as much time in the slot. So wait a minute. Hold on. Cooper Kupp, he spent 65% of the time in the slot, yet he's not a slot receiver. He operates out of the slot. But he's not a slot receiver. He's a wide receiver.
When people say he's not a slot receiver, it's like he doesn't fit the mold of the stereotypical slot, undersized, smallish, slot receiver.
Do you diminish slot receiver? It's almost like.
I don't think it has a negative connotation. It's not like system quarterback. It's not a system quarterback.
It doesn't have a negative connotation.
That was a tweet.
For
context, this tweet is from 2 years ago. Devontae Adams from 2 years ago. That's been going on a lot lately.
Thank you, Devontae. Underrated receiver, period.
Like that.
I don't think slot receiver is a slight if you're not a superstar. So if you just say
you don't think it's a slight if you're not a superstar.
If you're not a superstar. So if you're talking about Cole Beasley is a great slot receiver. Okay.
That's all.
I don't think Cole Beasley has a problem with that. Right? You don't have a problem with that, right? But if you say Cooper Kupp is a great slot receiver and you saw this man become the MVP of the Super Bowl.
No, he's not.
You
not
saw
limited.
Him win the...
No.
He's won the Triple Crown.
To a slot receiver. He doesn't operate exclusively out of the slot. He may operate primarily out of the slot. But again, it doesn't have, there's no negative. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's like you're looking at a slot receiver like, oh, you're just a slot receiver. Implicit is the just part. Or he's merely a slot receiver. I take it as the Rams are using him right. So it's a combination of his talent, the fact that he's a complete receiver, and he's got a coach that's deploying him properly. Not to say that somebody else's coach isn't deploying him properly, but Sean McVay gets him open.
Let me tell you something. Much help. You just said something so good. It's so good. The Rams are using him right. Right? So, back to PFF on Devontae Adams. When they said how he's not in the slot as much as Cooper Kupp, my thought is, well, why not?
Why not?
I mean, look, if it's
he's
harder
in the slot
to
quite
match
a bit.
If, did yeah,
it,
but
did
not
he
as much. It, yeah, they
but
did.
Not, maybe and not 65%.
It's
but
not.
Quite
it's
a
not
bit.
Even close. It's not
I feel
even
like
close.
He's in the slot quite a bit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's like it's if Cooper is 65%, Devontae's like in the 20s. I saw it somewhere else.
Is that
but
right?
But if it's difficult, I think it's like 21%. If it's difficult to match up with a guy in the slot and you can't just put your best corner on him, well, why aren't you doing that? I think more offensive coordinators and more head coaches should do exactly that if it's so difficult. So I like that list. I love.
Are we gonna talk about the fact that the MVP, the back-to-back MVP, is only 18th on
that
list?
That's a surprise, huh?
Yeah,
a little bit of a surprise.
Also, was a surprise is his engagement. That's unfortunate news. Aaron Rodgers is back on the market.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is back on the market. He's a bachelor again. Shailene Woodley.
Unfortunate for some.
Very unfortunate. Hey, but I'm going to tell you right now.
Hey, Mike, unfortunate for some. And some sister out there saying, this is God's will for my life. I've been praying about this. Aaron Rodgers. Okay, here, I'm ready. Let's go.
But I'm going to say what I've been saying since this Rodgers drama with the Packers started last offseason. I'm going to remix it for purposes of today's news. This is the only market he's going to be on. I told you from jump he wasn't going nowhere. I told you he was not going anywhere. And the Packers have said all the right things. Presumably they will do all the right things. But that was a bump in the road in their relationship. They just need to work through some things. I still don't believe he's going anywhere. I'm convinced he's not going.
Why do you say that? Why is he not? Because Green Bay makes too much sense. Because they won't actually do it. Like what's your reason for saying?
Well, they want him. They want, and I never bought into this idea that they had to start the clock on or start the Jordan Love era just because they traded up to take him in the first round. So what? You got a two-time MVP quarterback? From their perspective, why do you need to move on just for the sake of moving on when Aaron Rodgers is still playing at a high, if not the highest level in the NFL, okay? So there's absolutely no reason for the Green Bay Packers to move on from Aaron Rodgers. So that's one side of this relationship. On the other side of the relationship, I don't think – if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm not looking at the fact that we've come up short three straight years despite winning 13 games each season. I'm not looking at it and saying this is some kind of shortcoming on the part of this roster. Was there special teams an issue all year? Sure. Did the special teams let him down against San Francisco? Absolutely. We'll see if Rich Bisaccia can fix that. But Green Bay's got plenty, assuming they're able to bring everybody back. That's a big assumption, but I'm assuming that they're able to run it back for the most part. Green Bay has got why can't Green Bay compete unless there's some fatal flaw to Aaron Rodgers, which I don't believe, I don't buy into. But to me, it would perpetuate that or support that if Rodgers, with a team that's won 13 games three straight years and was on the doorstep of the Super Bowl last year, if Rodgers is like, yeah, I can't win here. Well, why not? Why can't you win in Green Bay? In that division? Hell, in that conference for that matter? I mean, you just said there's no dominant team in the NFL. You don't think that the Rams are built to, or not built to, but you didn't say that. You don't think that the Rams are a lock to repeat as much as anybody right. could be a lock to repeat. So,
right.
yeah, I think the best situation for Aaron Rodgers is the same situation. Now that, now that he's out of his feelings, I don't even know what people are really talking about at this point.
Okay. I got two points on that, on Aaron Rodgers. One, yeah, he does have a good situation in Green Bay. But it seems like there's something. Is he looking for something? Is he looking for something more? Maybe it's leverage, trying to leverage the Packers to get them to build the roster the way he wants. Or it could be he wants to play somewhere else. And I know there was a rumor last year, right around the draft, that he wanted to play in Denver, and Colorado made sense because his former fiance spends a lot of time in Colorado. I'm wondering now that the relationship is over, does that put the Broncos out of the mix? So that's one team that could be a fit for Aaron Rodgers. They got everything around him. They got some receivers in place. They got a good defense. They got his former offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. Or he went to school at Berkeley, right? San Francisco, you've talked a lot about, you know, just if Jimmy Garoppolo's not going to be there, maybe a bridge quarterback. Oh. Aaron Rodgers ready to.
So you can't beat him, now you got to join him? That would be real Kevin Durant, Golden State Warriors-esque.
He came out of it smelling like a rose, didn't he? Kevin Durant.
I'll say this. If the Packers are committed Durant, to paying him.
Yeah, but Kevin Durant and Rodgers have, they both had that kind of, what'd you say? What did he say? What'd you say
if
on
the
social
Packers
media? What'd you say?
Are actually willing to pay Aaron Rodgers a top of the market contract, implicit in that is that they're going to build and maintain a competitive team around him. You don't pay him $40, $45 million a year, whatever it is that he would end up getting a new contract for him to not. Yeah. So you're going to make all this money, but you're going to be home early every year. Like you do, it's implicit is we're investing in you and we're investing in your supporting cast as well. And the supporting cast ain't bad. They're like, oh, he doesn't have receivers. He got enough receivers to win two straight MVPs. Okay.
All right, let me say it this way. Do you think he agrees with you? Do you think he agrees with you? You're right. He didn't. Did not play well. Didn't play well. But do you think he agrees that, hey, because they pay him a bunch of money, that they're going to build the team in a way that he thinks is championship caliber? I don't think he agrees with that. I know he doesn't.
That's usually how it works. When somebody invests that kind of money, if put it this way, if they weren't going to be committed to competing for championships, then why give Aaron Rodgers that contract? Then just blow it up and trade him. Just trade him and get the draft picks and turn it over to Jordan Love on a rookie contract. If you're gonna cut corners, if you're gonna pay him if you're gonna back up the Brinks truck for him, then what are you doing that for if you're not gonna give him the weapons and the supporting cast and the protection and the defense and the special teams in order to have that investment pay off in the championship?
But see, this is a love language conversation, though. It really is.
Oh, now we're
because
talking.
Because
acts of service.
It is.
Words of affirmation.
See, Brian Gutekunst, what's his love language? His love language is building this team, not just for today, but for the next 3 or 4 years. And Aaron Rodgers says, oh, if you love me, well, you give me some more wide receivers. And you'll bring everybody on the staff that I want. Not who you think is best for the team, but who I think is best for the team. So they both have their vision of what a championship team looks like, but they're coming from different positions.
Everybody says he's only got one receiver. I seem to recall another receiver running wide open over the middle on a dig route. Meanwhile, he forced it to Devontae Adams. Again, he's got enough receivers to have won back-to-back MVPs. Maybe he locks in on that one receiver a little too much. Maybe he ain't perfect. Much as I love him, maybe he ain't perfect.
Yeah.
The quarterback, that is. Much as I love the quarterback.
Right.
Maybe he ain't perfect.
Right, I know.
He could be better. and maybe they get over the hump.
He can be better.
Or you go to Denver and have to deal with Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, exactly. Now, but I don't want to buy into this idea that he's like a fatally flawed quarterback in the postseason. I'm not trying to perpetuate that, though.
No, he's not that.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hey, Vaughn. Joe, nice to meet you, brother. What up, Aaron? Hey, Eric. I'm Joe. Nice to meet you, brother. I love watching you grow up. Love watching you growing up, man.
Keep it up, man. I love everything.
Joe, I appreciate you, brother.
No BS.
Yes, sir.
It's about quarterback. Are you really eating right now, dude?
Time out.
Really, dude?
Wow. Just going to shove. What do you at least tell us what you're shoving in your face? Oh, an apple, too. Okay.
This guy.
At least it's healthy.
Bro? I know we're coming back.
How about, hey, Gary. Let's go. Two box, Michael Smith, Chris Sims, two box. Get this fool out of here.
How about you go take
your lunch break.
I'm here.
Bruh, we just finished talking. Excuse me for a second, Chris. We just finished talking about this in a different context, Michael Holly. You know what I'm talking about. And you sit up here taking a damn lunch break in the middle of the show? Chewing? Got your mouth full? Trifling ass. Trying to run a professional operation out here, man.
Come on.
Trying to have a professional operation. This dude is an apple.
Look.
I don't know. You could have done that before 3 o'clock? After 5
hey,
o'clock?
Chris.
You had to do it at 4:08? Nobody trying to hear you smack it on the apple?
I missed it. The box lunch. I missed the box lunch. I'm looking for my box lunch, and I didn't get it, so I had to figure out an apple. Come on. Give me a break. Yeah. Anyway, Chris
okay.
Sims.
Fine. Go ahead.
Good to see you. Look at him. He's just mad because he didn't have an apple like I do. Nice green apple. But I like the... I like when guys are mic'd up. I like when players and coaches are mic'd up. Oh, there you go, Chris. Yeah, go ahead, drink some water.
That's different.
Is there anything from Joe Burrow that from the Super Bowl that you thought, okay, I didn't know that he had that, or was there any disappointment from him in that game? Now, I thought he played well, but just from you looking at him and seeing how that game played out start to finish, essentially, what did you take away from Joe Burrow that maybe you didn't know before?
Well, I still love Joe Burrow. There's no doubt. It wasn't his best game. You know, it was not. I think he would tell you that. There were some plays and some throws that I think he'd like to have back. There's no doubt about that. There's not much that I could say that I didn't know. I think cool under pressure, tough as hell. You know, quality thrower of the football, looks to be like aggressive, like we saw with the big play. That's why we called him the big play Bengals, because when he sees one-on-one with his guys, he's coming out firing. So I can't say there's anything there. I do think that, you know, more of my disappointment just comes from a little bit of the Bengals approach on the offensive side of the ball. That's where it's still a little bit of a head scratcher to me. You know, it was like, we all knew the issue with the game was the offensive line of the Bengals versus the Rams defensive line. And the Bengals' plan of attack to help that out was just, I hope we do better. I think we'll do better this game. And that is just not acceptable, in my opinion. That's where I'm bothered by that. So, yeah, Burrow missed a few throws, but I also will, you know, cut him some slack because I'm going to go, well, you're going to miss a few plays and not see people down the field when your ass is getting hit all the time. You know, there's no other way to say it. When you get the ball and the first guy you look at, if he's not wide open, you're going, and I'm getting crushed. Man, it's hard to play quarterback that way. So, yes, it was a little less than perfect. We didn't see quite the typical Joe Burrow magic, but we saw enough, and there they were with a position, you know, a chance to win the football game. But what I don't get is things like I talked to you last week on the show at the Super Bowl. One, why was there not some more max protection type of plays? You know, hey, here's Chase, here's Boyd, here's Higgins. They're on this side. We got a tight end over here. We're going to keep the running back in and have six or seven blockers and throw the ball down the field. You know, the only time they kept the tight end in all game, guess what play it was? 75-yard touchdown to T. Higgins. So why wasn't there more of that? Why wasn't there more screens to slow down the Rams' pass rush? Make them think a little bit. Make them slow down. The Rams were the worst defense in football about defending screens this year. They didn't throw one freaking screen against them. You know, nothing to make them think. No Jamar Chase speed sweeps, reverses, toss sweeps, Deebo Samuel style. They just let the Rams be aggressive and play in an aggressive frame of mind all game long. I think that's what I was more bothered by anything with the Bengals offense approach, not anything Joe Burrow wise.
You got it, Mike.
Oh, I thought you wanted to jump back in. So
No.
Zach Taylor just got an extension. Chris Sims, he had, to your point, some questionable calls, including admittedly leaving Samaje Perine in on that third and one handoff before the penultimate play by Aaron Donald, before the final play, the penultimate play before the pressure by Aaron Donald. Is Zach Taylor the right guy to get the best out of Joe Burrow? They had a great season. Mm. We were just marveling a second ago at the fact that Joe Burrow was the highest graded quarterback in the league, according to Pro Football Focus. I know he led the league in completion percentage. Is Zach Taylor the right coach to get this team back to the Super Bowl and win it?
I think so. You know, again, I mean, there's a big turnaround this year. He did bring a quarterback who, yeah, not only was young, but coming off an injury, and they handled that situation correctly the whole year. They did a lot of good things on the football team. Defense is well coached. He put together a good staff. I do think he's the guy going forward, the right guy. And I do think it was the right thing to give him an extension. You know, they got something to build on here. You got a young coach, a young quarterback, so a good defensive coordinator, you know, some other young players that are stars in the NFL too. You know, this is to me where you can really build something and build a culture of winning right now. So, yes, I do look at Zach Taylor as being a guy that can get him back there. But, you know, just like Sean McVay the first time around, hopefully he learns from some of the mistakes and things he did.
Yeah.
And it can, you know, result in a Super Bowl win if he does get back in a few years.
No question. How attractive, you mentioned, you know, the situation that they're building, they got a bunch of cap room, like $60 million in cap room or something like that. How attractive are these Bengals now to free agents? It might have been your man Von Bell, Michael, that came to Cincinnati because of Joe Burrow. Kind of Pied Piper can Joe Burrow, and for that matter, Zach Taylor. Yeah. Can they be now for this organization to have free agents flocking to Cincinnati to protect Joe Burrow first and foremost, but just to be a part of this thing that they're building down there?
Yeah, I think they are. I think it's got a little bit of the Josh Allen, Mahomes effect. You're going to see that in Cincinnati where people are going to just go, these guys are young, they're good, I like their vibe, their energy, I want to go be a part of it. I think, you know, you guys said Von Bell. I believe DJ Reader said the same thing last week in one of the press conferences leading up to the game. He went to Cincinnati, he said Joe Burrow was a big reason. I wanted to go play with Joe Burrow. You know, the guy's special. He's got special leadership qualities. He's, you know, cocky in just the right way, just the right way you want your quarterback. And I think, you know, yes, the Bengals with money, hopefully they can be, you know, a little more aggressive in free agency. They're one of these teams that's a little bit weird as far as how they guarantee their money. They usually don't guarantee it more than 1 year. They have a few things there to where, yeah, they got to break the mold a little bit about their usual business. You're here. Time is hot. Strike while the iron's hot. You got a team that's legit. You got a quarterback that's on a rookie contract. You know, I hope they make some drastic moves like we saw the Chiefs do last year. Whoa, we can't protect Patrick Mahomes. We're going to trade for Orlando Brown. We're going to sign the best free agent guard in Joe Tooney. We're going to draft a center in the second round, right?
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah.
Good actor.
No, what'd you say? I missed it. What'd you say?
No, I said Orlando Bloom can't block. Good actor, Loved him in Troy,
yeah,
especially.
He can. Yeah, right? You're right.
But he can't block. Yeah. No, right. There's an opportunity here. Go ahead, Michael.
I do want to ask you about the Rams, but before I get there, and I just got to say, it just bugged out to me, Mike and Chris, that the Bengals have 6 scouts. And that's not the tripped out part. They all live in Cincinnati. It's just so wild. Nobody else has a scouting staff. They all like drive into the office. I'm going to scout today. I'm the Southeast scout. I'm the West Coast scout. And here I am in the Queen City. It's just wild. It's just weird. Anyway.
That's different.
You're right.
It is. It's different.
Nobody else does that. But as you said, I hope they break the mold. I hope they do, because they do. They got something special, man. Take advantage of that vibe. Speaking of something special, number 99 for the Rams, there was some chatter, and Rodney Harrison, our colleague, talked about it on Sunday. He said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams win this game. Aaron Donald seriously considers retirement. Where do you think he stands with that? I heard what he said on the stand, you know, on the podium, a little alcohol on the microphone. Anything's liable to come out, but what do you think he'll do?
I think he'll be back. I do. I think he loves football too much. Now, listen, I don't doubt that he's probably a little physically and mentally drained. He's a psycho. I mean, he's really dedicated to his craft. So that does wear on you. And, yeah, I mean, he's already one of the greatest defensive players in the history of the football. Just like, you know, we talked about it a little in the pregame. He's right there with LT, Reggie White, Ray Lewis. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame of the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Like the special back room where it's like, no, we don't even got to think about this vote. Everybody's voting for this guy. So he's one of those players. But I still think at the end of the day, he's going to look at it and just go, damn, our team's still good, and we're not in bad salary cap shape here to where we could figure this out and have everybody back and make another run of this thing. I think he comes back. And, you know, I also, just with my time with McVay, you know, the 2 weeks before the game when we got to spend with the Rams, I got a real sense that he was re-energized too, that he found the right balance between work and life. And this year hadn't drained him and, you know, totally just been a psycho crazy year that way for Sean McVay. So I expect both of them to be back. And I think they both know, like, look, man, we got this team set up right now to where, you know, again, repeating to win the Super Bowl is extremely difficult, but certainly they're a team that will be contending for that Super Bowl next year. There's no doubt about that if they all come back.
I was about to say, you like their chances? We discussed that a little while ago. We know how hard it is. Nobody's done it since 03, 04. But I, given their personnel and just what they did this year, like, there was a lot of even though they weren't the defending champions, they had as much pressure as anybody on them. So I don't think being, you know, the hunted and not the hunter is going to be foreign territory.
Agreed.
For them. They had a spotlight on them all year. This was Stafford's first year in that system. They overcame a lot of adversity, quiet as it's kept, whether it's injuries or what have you. I think if anybody's equipped to do it, it's the Rams. I don't think this was a one-off for them.
No, I'm with you. There's a lot of things there to go. And listen, like you said, it's hard to repeat. But, like, would I be shocked if they were back in the Super Bowl again with a chance to win it like the Chiefs were the year after they won it? No, I would not be. You're right. We saw they only continued to get better the whole year into the Super Bowl. Stafford played better and better. I mean, he did that game yesterday or last Sunday without Higbee. Blanton, the second string tight end, went out of the game in the second quarter. Odell gets hurt. They can't run the ball, right? I mean, Matthew Stafford showed why they traded for him. He's a Super Bowl quarterback that was finally on a Super Bowl team, and they got to put that together. And you get OBJ back healthy. You know, Robert Woods, you know, he'll be back in the mix there. You know, add a player here or there, whatever. Yes, I look at them, and to your point, I think your point's the biggest point. The spotlight's on them. They don't give a damn. They're a bunch of Hollywood stars that love it anyways. You know, I think they're one of those teams that's going to relish kind of the bullseye. Like, hey, yeah, we're coming into town. That's right. Eat it. Here comes, you know, Stafford, OBJ, Aaron Donald. We're the greatest thing around. Eat that. I think they're kind of one of those teams. I do.
You know, Sims, right out at SoFi Stadium, Aaron Rodgers won his MVP award second year in a row. Said, I'm going to make a decision soon. Where do you think Rodgers is going to play in 2022?
Well, not the NFC, right? Yeah, my people I know that are in the know a little bit, people seem to think that he's going to leave Green Bay or get out of Green Bay. So, that's where I'm leaning there. I don't think there's any way he gets traded in the NFC, right? I mean, Matt LaFleur is not going to want to trade Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco and watch his buddy Kyle Shanahan go to the Super Bowl with him, and then everybody go, why can he get there with him and you can't? You know, so I don't see that happening. You know, I don't see Tampa happening for the same reason, right? Like, oh, we got Brady. He was wearing number 12. We're in the Super Bowl. Hey, now Rodgers is here. They go to the Super Bowl too. So, and of course, they don't want to compete with them if they had to see them in the playoffs. The Packers are still going to be a playoff caliber team without Aaron Rodgers. So I do think it's AFC. And when I look at the AFC, I'm sorry.
You just say the Packers are still going to be a playoff team without Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think they're still going to view themselves as a playoff caliber team, right? Yeah.
That flies in the face of everything we've ever heard about his supporting cast, but continue. That's all. I just wanted to point out.
Listen,
they're still
a good team. They're a playoff caliber team. My only thing the whole year is they said they're not a Super Bowl team. They've got playoff caliber players. They don't have the elite players to ever get over the hump, though. That's my thing with the Green Bay Packers. And as you saw, here we were in a game in the Super Bowl where there was just a lot of players that could just make plays. Screw the play. Oh, go. So what? You won. You got me blocked.
Chris,
I can make it happen. That's where Green Bay misses out.
But if they got a love affair with Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback. Yeah. But can we acknowledge that he wasn't very elite against San Francisco?
Definitely.
What he didn't have. A lot of it had to do with him, and he didn't perform very well.
I agree. But I'm going to jump off of that.
I'm going to jump off on that now that you said it.
Yes, you're right. Aaron Rodgers, I expect him to make three or four plays in that divisional game to put them over the edge to win the game. That's what I expect from Aaron Rodgers, no doubt. Now, what I don't like is in that weekend, this is where it's a little unfair to Rodgers at times. We talk about the Bucs and, oh, man, they're missing one lineman. And he has Mike Evans and, you know, other receivers and still Gronk in a running game. And we acted like, oh, man, Brady, whoa, he's got to really play with the underman team. But then we get to that game, and they talk about that with Brady. But then it comes to Rodgers, and he's got three offensive linemen out that aren't playing. There's no Marquez Valdez-Scantling. A.J. Dillon gets hurt. I'm missing somebody else. They're missing a tight end. And everyone just goes, ah, screw it, it's Aaron Rodgers. We don't even talk about it. We just expect them to come overcome it. And that's where, to me, it's just unfair with the talk at times. That's what bothers me, too. But I think Denver Broncos would be the place in the AFC if you made me put money. I'm still going to go there. He's still, yes, it's new. They got talent. And he'll have a little bit of the comfort zone with a coach that he knows and personally likes and knows is going to run the offense he likes. So that would be the number one team I would throw out there if you made me bet money.
But we're not going to make you bet money. Don't worry. Not right now. This is okay. Keep your money.
I'll bet you an apple.
Your money's no good here.
You said you bet an apple? You don't want to see what it looks like.
Not one that you've already half eaten already. I mean, but yeah, like a real one.
I'm not even going to show it right now. It's really disgusting.
Really disrespectful, right? Michael Smith, really disrespectful. The guy's eating on the show. I mean, just can't believe it.
I thought he was a better guy than that. Sims, this tells you how comfortable I am. This is a brotherhood. You know, you can do anything around your brothers. You know,
Sims.
I kind of forget.
All right, good answer.
Sims, I mean,
good
I,
answer.
You know, yeah, well, okay. Good enough answer for you.
See ya. Peace.
All right.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Did you see like where Harden was rolling his eyes? I don't know if somebody reported that Harden was rolling his eyes when Nash was drawing up plays for KD. Could you imagine having that much confidence in yourself?
I mean, when the best player in the world is getting the play drawn up for him, and you're like, oh, this guy again. This guy is Kevin Durant. The Kevin Durant, maybe the best scorer we've ever seen, one of the best scorers in the world, that's ever put their feet on the world, touch the basketball, rolling your eyes. That's so weird. And to hear that he wasn't happy too, you know what I mean? It's just, I'm like, bro.
We saw that fucking subliminal Harden threw at Kyrie. He's like, I'm just happy to be here where everyone is willing to do whatever it takes to win. You know what I'm saying?
Except for you when it's time to win, Harden. Shut up, please. Oh, my God.
Jenkins and Jones are back with us. Jethro Jenkins, Dragonfly Jones. All right, I guess I don't even have to ask who you thought won the trade. Clearly, you think that the team that got the guy that hasn't played this year and the guy that's got no jumper got the better of this trade, given James Harden's track record, right?
Go ahead, Tyler.
No, I mean, I personally think both teams won here. You know what I'm saying? Because Harden had to get – you had to move Harden. Harden's going to be a free agent this summer. He said he didn't want to be there. You had to get some return for him. And you know what I'm saying? I don't think, you know – trying to, you know, we saw in the playoffs that leaning all the way into offense wasn't going to get it done. They needed some defense, right? Because we saw Milwaukee in that game seven, they were getting whatever bucket they wanted. You know what I mean? So I think that them bringing in a defensive player you can move across the whole chessboard like Ben Simmons, you know, to couple with Kyrie and KD is a great move for them. And I think that Philly one, of course, you know, they finally got some offensive help, you know, with another star for Embiid there with Harden. So, you know, Harden can return to form, that is, and I think he will. So I actually think both teams won this.
I think both teams as well. You know what I mean? Sixers got some hoopers. I was hoping the Nets might get Thybulle in that. I know they're talking about Thybulle or Maxey getting added in that. If they got those two, that's a win for them. But, I mean, I think Simmons will be a great fit. I mean, he has all shooters around him. You know, Patty Mills, Curry, KD, Kyrie. He'll never have to shoot the basketball again, as Tyler said in the tweet. You know what I mean? So he can just play D, be a God-tier defensive player, and distribute the ball and be great in the open court. And I think it's a great fit for him. Harden, I don't know. Harden's kind of weird. You know what I mean? We'll see how he fits in. He might not be happy a day and a half from now and want to move again.
Let me ask you this, though, John. If, let's say finally, at long last, through Dwight Howard, through Chris Paul, through Russell Westbrook, through KD and Kyrie, let's say Joel Embiid is the person that James Harden has been searching for all this time. And let's say they win a championship. Will you view Harden differently? We heard the slander you had for him, rightfully so, in the clip we just played. Will you view Harden differently and how he's going about things if he and Joel Embiid win a championship in Philly?
It depends on how he plays, if I'll, you know, view him differently. If he steps up and is the basketball player we know and see during the regular season and in the first three or four games in the playoff series, yeah, I'll change it. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, Embiid's been maybe the best player in the world right now, you know what I mean, the last, you know, few games, other than DeRozan. We need to talk about him for MVP. But it would change a little bit. It would change a little bit if you got a chip. Everything changes when you win a chip.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Speaking of that, and I'm just trying to figure this out, the Western Conference, pretty top-heavy. You look at Phoenix – just kind of running away with it. The East is all over the place. If you guys have to call, and everybody weigh in here too. Mike, I want to hear you say this too, because I don't think I've ever asked you this question. Is there a team to beat in the East? Is it Milwaukee, or is that just the easy answer?
Milwaukee.
Or somebody else?
Milwaukee.
It's Milwaukee.
It's the easy answer, and it's the right answer. It's the easy answer, and it's the right answer.
Is there a close second?
Giannis. A close second. There's a four-way tie for a close second. You know what I mean? So, I think you can say the Bulls, the Nets. I mean, I'm even eager to see what Cleveland has this postseason with the way they've been hooping. So, you know, there's a bit of a logjam there, but I think that the Bucks are the team in the East.
Mike, the Bucks go ahead, John.
They're a bunch of hoopers that can play basketball too. You know what I mean? And everybody knows what they need to do. Nobody's confused. Nobody's rolling their eyes at the other guy when a play is being drawn. You know what I'm saying? They know exactly what they need to do. They're a great team, and they got a bunch of hoopers on the squad. I'm hella confident in the Bucks.
Speaking of hoopers, Brad, Michael, it may end up at some point, it may end up like it did for us last year. My Nets, now listen, it may be more about the Knicks and Tom Thibodeau got to go, and the Knicks can't hold a 20-point lead to save their life. I get all of that. I ain't wasting time talking about them. But y'all saw, I told you about Cam Thomas when they drafted him. Cam Thomas, the shooting they got with Seth Curry, if they ever get everybody back, and Mayor Adams decides to lift this mandate and Kyrie's back, if they could get the guy, Simmons, Durant, Kyrie, Joe Harris back from injury, Seth Curry, Cam Thomas, bro, that's a good squad. That's a really good, squad team. If they get the, if they get them, they can come out of the East. This ain't saying much. They could win the East with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Why not?
Kevin Durant's the best player in the world. You know what I'm saying? I think Kevin Durant, when he's at the top tier, he's the best player in the world. I think Giannis may be a little more dynamic because he does defensive stuff as well. But, I mean, Curry's a 50-40-90 guy almost. You know what I'm saying? Simmons has the defense they need. You know, they have nothing but shooters. I think – if they won, I don't think it would surprise anybody.
Yeah.
I think them swapping out Simmons for Harden makes them a better matchup with Milwaukee. You know what I mean? We can say that they might not be the better teams, you know, just swapping out those guys just based on pure talent. But I think they're for sure a better matchup with Milwaukee having Simmons there instead of Harden.
The way I put it was I feel like the Sixers got the better player, but the Nets got the better fit.
For
in
sure.
In terms of the most seamless
there
fit.
There we go.
Like, you know, in terms of like winning the trades. That's why, like I said off the top, both teams got what they needed. They both got rid of players that they were sick of anyway. Go ahead, Michael. You look like you want to jump in.
Just wondering, who's everybody feeling for MVP? I mean, I saw a straw poll today. Maybe Embiid was on top. Jokic got some love. Steph Curry got some love. Even going down the list, Ja Morant. This MVP of the league, do you feel strongly? Do you guys feel strongly about a particular player? And if so, why?
It's tough, man. It's, you know, I think that the MVP is coming out the East this year, and we don't have the whole, you know, being that there's like six teams separated by one game, we don't have the whole, you know, better record thing to lean on here. But, you know, I think that it comes down to, you know, Giannis, Embiid, or DeRozan. But I would probably go with Giannis.
I think you talked about player fatigue before. I mean, voter fatigue, where they're not going to give it to Giannis. I don't think they're going to give Joker the MVP 2 years in a row. You know what I mean? What gets me is DeMar's not even in the conversation for real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's averaged 38 over like the last six games, breaking Michael Jordan's records or tying Michael Jordan's records in Chicago. Like, averaging 28 for the season, maybe the best season he's ever had in his career, shooting 50-plus from the field, shooting the three-point difference decently, three-point shot, and they're like, what, second in the East? In a really good East. I don't get why we're not talking about DeRozan more.
Maybe the problem is that the conversation – oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you why. You know, you mentioned voter fatigue, and I think this is another instance where, you know, we have a player fighting an uphill battle against, you know, the mentalities of voters, because this is a redemption year for DeRozan. And we don't see, and, you know, guys get redemption MVPs, right? Like MVPs are coronations, like you arrived or you reached the level we all knew you would reach one day. It's a confirmation bias award. You know what I mean? And so for people to vote for DeMar, they would have to admit they were wrong about it. And I don't think a lot of voters are willing to do that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, a lot of people writ DeMar off. You know, they say, you know, he's a relic. You know, he's a 90s mid-range ISO guy. We don't play basketball like that anymore. The philosophy of the game has evolved beyond that. They writ him off. They left him for dead. And he has, I mean, usually the guy who was in the DeRozan shoe, the Bulls were the 11th seed last year. They're the one seed this year. And he's the best player on that team. Usually that guy is a lot for MVP. And DeRozan isn't even really in the discussion. Like I said, I think it's because it will be a redemption award. And you don't see redemption MVPs, unfortunately.
See, I disagree, Tyler. I think he is in a discussion. He's not leading the discussion. But I think most people would have him in the top five. The problem is three spots are already spoken for in Giannis, Jokic, and Embiid. And then you got a Ja Morant. It's a crowded MVP conversation. But the voter fatigue, I do think, is real, giving it to Giannis again or Jokic for a second straight year. I was going to say, I think it's more about the timing. We can't help ourselves from having MVP conversations a week into the season. So the confirmation bias that I see is like once you decide oh, Jokic, because a couple of weeks ago, Michael and I had it. And I was like, oh, Jokic, how could you not give it to Nikola Jokic? Because he was putting up historic numbers. Then it becomes everybody else got to somehow overtake somebody that halfway through the season, you decided was the MVP or they were the front runner for MVP. The problem is DeRozan has got to overtake Giannis and Embiid. And they play tonight, by the way, on national television. Both those dudes probably going to go crazy. Neither one of those dudes are given any ground. So as great as DeRozan has been, I think, and Tyler, another thing, I think voters like fresh stories, dude. I think people like DeMar DeRozan as a person. His game may be antiquated. They like him as a person. I think they like fresh stories, and they would love to give it to somebody new. Problem is we make up our minds too early. That makes sense, John?
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like Ja, too. I mean, like, everybody wants Ja to be Ja. You know what I mean? And so it's hard for somebody like DeRozan, who Tyler said we wrote off, to overtake somebody like him as well. You know what I mean? Because everybody loves the Ja Morant story. You know what I mean? So it's just hard for him. But like Tyler was saying, the first, second in the East, consistently throughout this year, we're looking at these numbers. It's insane that he's not mentioned higher.
Would y'all vote for him right now? The two of y'all? With Tyler, John, would y'all vote for him right now?
I don't think he's MVP. I don't think he's MVP, but I think he's in the discussion. I just, you know, you said you hear people talking about it. I hear people talking about most improved. He's having a great season. We don't talk about an MVP quality season. I think it's MVP quality. I don't think he's MVP, though. I think we've been trying to give him B the MVP for 3 years. Let's go ahead and give it to him.
Yeah, right. Hey, you know what? And I want to put a tag, you know, and jump in on that pile on Tyler's point about DeMar DeRozan, because not only is it, you know, people talking about his game, you know, he for 3 years in San Antonio, my man shot 25% from 3-point range. That's almost like, don't take it. That's not you. So nobody really looked at him. But more than that, he was never an all-star there. So I think DeMar DeRozan reminds you, one, don't ever write off a player who's got game. He'll figure it out. He's 32. He figured it out. But two, I think a lot of times, and I'm guilty of this, and I will no longer be guilty of this, fellas. If a guy is on a team, he's putting up numbers, they ain't making the playoffs. San Antonio was kind of irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Toronto won the chip. DeMar goes off. Now we're talking about Kawhi. Oh, look, that great trade. They brought in Kawhi. They moved on from DeRozan. There's some dudes who are really balling on teams that aren't good, and they're kind of dismissed. Now that he's improved his three-point shot, but he was balling in San Antonio. We just weren't paying attention.
That's a fact as well. But not only did he go from 25% to 35% from the three-point line, he's winning games, shooting threes now. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a totally different player than we've seen the last couple years, so.
So last night,
go ahead.
Tyler, when you watched the Lakers last night, I almost hesitate to bring this up because I know Michael's gonna sit up here and tell me he told me so about Anthony Davis. But what did you choose to focus on last night? Why are you covering your mouth, Michael? Tyler, what did you choose to focus on last night? Davis getting another freak injury or LeBron James being a freak in the fourth quarter once again, and got the longest streak of 25-point games of his career in year 19 at age 37.
Bro, we were in the group chat, me and John and Mike and Mike Garabasi. We were in the group chat, and, you know, when we saw the injury happen to AD, we were like, season's over, hang it up, you know, it's a wrap. You know, then we got the good news that you know, the x-rays came back, you know, negative. It was just a sprain. Then we saw Bron spaz like that, you know, when it was winning time and throw the team on his back. And we went from doom and gloom to the we believe Laker fans again in that moment. And that's where I'm at. That's where I've been at all season. Like, the Lakers have been abysmal, but if you still got this Bron, and if we get this Bron and a healthy AD in the playoffs, who knows what can happen. I still think that when you know, Bron is still playing, you know, Bron ball, if AD can step up and, you know, be the AD that we all know he can be, I still think that's the best duo in the league. And you know what I mean? And you win with your horses in the playoffs. You know what I mean? So we'll see. We'll see what happens in the playoffs. You know, I I'm not at all expecting them to finish the season strong and win, like, you know, 25 out of 30. But who knows what they'll do in the postseason if we get, you know, this Bron and the AD that we've all known.
Where are they in the West? Where are they in the West? I'm wondering where they look like. What are they ranked? Are they 10th right now?
They got four.
I can tell you this. They're four games ahead of the Pelicans in order to make the play-in tournament. So they got some breathing room to at least be in the play-in right now is the last thing I saw.
They
can be in the play-in. They're doing the play-in thing, huh?
Pack it up, baby. Rest, Bron. Let's not waste any more time, G. Come on. Pack it up, bro. Hey, if AD is healthy, there's too many ifs going on when we're talking about a chip team.
We need a healthy AD, bro. Like, I've given up on Russ. You know what I'm saying? We just need a healthy AD to play with this Bron.
Do we? Is that going to beat the – is that going to get us out the West? You know what I'm saying? That's going to beat the Warriors? That's going to be, you know, John M. That team is deep, dog. You know what I'm saying? That's going to beat the best team in basketball at this very moment, which is Phoenix. I don't see it, G. And we got to come out of 10th. So we got to play all the dogs on the way to the chip. I don't know, bro. I don't know, man.
We're acting like we haven't seen Bron beat these Warriors before with dependable Robin before. It can happen.
Bron's playing great. But also, this is Bron with water on the knee. You know what I'm saying? After ankle. I mean, this is an older Bron. This ain't the Bron that had the same bounce and step and could move mountains in the same way. He's moving mountains, but he's also moving them from the three-point line and stuff. It's more of an old man game, Bron. As good as he is, I'm not taking anything away from him.
That's right.
But it's a different Bron, you know?
Absolutely. And that was it. That was 6 years ago, man. 6 years ago, he was like – and he had Kyrie and – Kevin Love for a little bit. I know Kevin Love went out, but they had a better team. But, Mike, I saw you
he
put
it as I'm peeking. Wait, 6 years ago what? He just won a championship. What you talking about?
No, I'm saying, but I thought you were talking about, let's act like we haven't seen him drag anybody before. I thought you were talking about Cleveland against the Warriors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
2017.
Okay, right.
2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, Mike, I saw us peeking in your feed, and you said you kind of feel bad for AD.
Why? I do.
I mean, why?
Because what I don't like, see, I don't like the jokes, man. I don't like the street clothes.
What you mean?
I don't like the slander. I'm saying, man, like, okay, the last injury he had, somebody rolled up into his leg in a freakish way. The way he came down yesterday, y'all act like he going out looking to get hurt. Y'all act like this is some kind of a character flaw. And I don't know, I don't know who this applies to. I know it applies to Michael Holly.
Me.
Tyler, John, I'm not talking about y'all.
Yeah, me.
But I'm saying, like, it's not like it's the me. No, because what you want, cause no, what you want to say, but you just ain't said it. You want to say he's soft, and I don't think that's the case. He's had some bad luck. He's had some fluky, freaky injuries that have cost him. You saw the play last night. What he's supposed to do? He came down on his ankle. How is that his fault? How is that some kind of like exposure of who he is or who he isn't? John, go ahead.
I'm going to say this, man. Did y'all see him in the back? It looked like he broke based on how he was limping and couldn't get to the locker room. I mean, like, that's my thing with AD is, like, when he falls, even when it's nothing, he's, you know, and everybody's scared. You know, he can't hit the ground without us being scared because of how his reaction is. But, I mean, as far as him actually getting hurt to get an injury, I mean, that's something that just happens in basketball. But it does seem sometimes that he's a little bit, you know, extra. I mean, speaking of, to Holly's point.
Hey, and you know what, fellas? This is a man who put in his – he said, hey, why did I sign that deal? Because I'm injury prone. He said it. I think I've never heard a cat call himself injury prone. you know my history, right?
He only been 7 foot for like 5 minutes, though. You know what I mean? So he probably ain't used to his height yet. He got that growth spurt in what, like his senior in high school? So
yeah, he's trying to figure it out. He's trying to figure out.
He's figuring out
being
7 foot, you know?
I love it, though.
I just didn't want to have to come in here and hear that from Michael because he been on AD. Somebody got to defend AD. But listen, it is frustrating. But what's the dude going to do? Tyler, John, Jenkins, and Jones, we appreciate y'all, man. Thank y'all for falling through.
Sure.
Keep killing it on the podcast, man. Check them out.
Give us a fatherhood update. Give us a fatherhood update.
We love it. We loving it. I want 28 of them. You know what I mean? I want 28 of them. I need to make a little bit more money.
Nick Cannon?
Exactly. Run me. All of it. You feel me? I'm loving it. Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
All right, y'all be good.
Great to hear it.
Yeah, appreciate y'all, man.
Be cool.
Fun as always,
man.
All right.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Mike, I really don't know what it is about the NFC East and creepy team executives spying, no other way of saying it, secretly spying on team cheerleaders. We know the Washington football team has done that and paid some price for it. I hesitate to say the price. They've never paid the price. They paid some price. And same thing with the Dallas Cowboys. Settling for $2.4 million, that averages out to about $400,000 per cheerleader because a team executive, we're going to get to him in a second, a team executive was on his iPhone recording these cheerleaders, and they found out about it. And this was something that was settled quietly with the Dallas Cowboys. So who was that executive? That executive was Rich Dalrymple, the former PR guy. The PR guy for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, this is no pun intended. This is Rich. He said one thing, because there was a couple incidents. One was a cheerleader with cheerleaders with the iPhone. Another one was spotted by a fan watching the live stream of the team's war room. They see a guy who is actually recording Cowboys executive Charlotte Jones, that's right, Jerry Jones's daughter. He's upskirting, and he's recording that, and that was spotted by a fan, and that's how we found out about that. So Dalrymple says one, it was just an accident. One of those incidents was an accident, and another one is false. I just happened to retire after 32 years. These incidents are not linked. So, Mike, think about what we're untangling here. One, we've got a very sick case of spying on women who have no idea, spying and recording women who have no idea that that's happening. Two, you've got something that is settled privately or quietly. And three, you've got a guy who still is denying that he did it. And it's the Dallas Cowboys and the owner's daughters involved. And it is all just trying. They've tried. This happened in 2015. So this is 7 years old and it's coming to light now. It's just all, we're going to push it all away because we don't like how it looks. And we don't want to necessarily have people view us in a particular way. This is such a, I love the way you put it. In your feed, I don't know if you still have it like that, when you said the Cowboys really are America's team. This is such an American story, unfortunately, of a lack of accountability, lack of transparency, and just misogyny. That's what it is. Let's just call it what it is. It's misogyny. And guys will do it. They do it because a lot of times they get away with it. They're not called out on it. When they're called out on it, they deny it. It is really a disappointing American / NFC East / NFL story.
Yeah, I mean, you explained my take probably better than I would have. I'll just add to that that I'm not going to say every. I don't want to speak in absolute. Okay, actually, I will say every.
Go ahead.
At varying levels, I'll at least qualify with that. That'll be the caveat. Every organization is living in a glass house. Every organization in the National Football League is living in a glass house.
Every one of them got skeletons in their closet. It just depends on whose closet it is and how high up the food chain that closet resides. It just goes back to, and as bad as what Rich Dalrymple is accused of doing is, was and is, yet another cover-up, I'm not going to say it's worse than the crime, because the crime's pretty bad, but yet another cover-up makes the crime worse. Because, okay, yeah, if you settle for $2.4 million, then you conceded that something happened that shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In civil court, it's not an admission of guilt, but you conceded that something untoward happened. Where is the NFL on this? And they've yet to actually execute a thorough and credible investigation. The next investigation that's above board on the part of the NFL will be the first investigation that's above
board.
Tell
me about it.
So whether it's the Washington football team, which leads to John Gruden, which, you know, and now here's the Dallas Cowboys. It's scandal after scandal. And the through line in all these scandals is the NFL dropping the ball or fumbling, as the case may be, when it comes to how to thoroughly investigate it in a transparent and credible way. Something happened here. And for the NFL to just be like, hey, my name's Paul, that's between y'all, that's a club issue.
That's right.
You got to do better. We need to do better than that.
We do.
And nobody wants to swing open everybody else's closet because they know what's in their own closet.
And for the guy accused of it to say it was an accident? Come on now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.